Welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will hear a single from a Swedish band that has never had a hit single, but has placed songs on numerous television shows such as The OC, One Tree Hill, Veronica Mars, Grey's Anatomy, 90210, Maui Fever, and Greek. For our little slice of heaven at number 7, we will examine one of the two big hits by a powerful female R&B singer from the 50s who later became the director of entertainment on a U.S. military base in the Philippines and remained a resident there for over 20 years. Then, for our song at number 2, we will play a recording made at a Los Angeles studio by a British band that was closing out its American tour. We will tell the story of two fans that won a radio contest to meet the band and follow the aftermath of their good fortune. And finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we will play the opening segment of the album that has been universally recognized as having the most iconic cover art ever, and we will focus on one key component of that cover, a message, so to speak, from Friends. But first, just as we do every week, we start with a song that, at some point, was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a one-week peak and then sputtered. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we start with a six-man rock act called The Nobody Else that got off to a shaky start by stealing a sound system from a high school near their rural hometown. They were ultimately identified and shockingly sentenced to 26 years in a prison farm. Fortunately, though, their sentences were later suspended. Appreciative of their freedom, they moved to the Ozark Mountains and lived off the land, all the while honing their musical skills. In 1969, they got a major break when they signed with Memphis-based Stax Records. After releasing a record that didn't sell, they changed their name and moved over to the one-time parent label of Stax, the Atlantic Group. While in Memphis, though, Elvis Presley invited them to Graceland and, out of the blue, suggested that they record a cover version of a 1957 R&B hit by Laverne Baker, Jim Dandy.
Yeah!
with a song that spent 1 week at number 40, up from number 55 on its way to a number 25 peak on the Cashbox Singles Chart. That was Black Oak, Arkansas, featuring guest female vocalist Ruby Starr with their version of Jim Dandy.
Alt-Universe Top 40,
number 20.
The group The Primitives formed in Coventry, England in 1984 and are best known for their 1988 hit single Crash, which hit number 5 on the British charts and number 3 on the modern rock track charts in the United States. While that song does have a certain catchiness about it, the Primitives song Sick of It always seemed to me to be their most complete recording. Vocalist Tracy Tracy delivered their fusion of punk, folk, and pop with a perfect attitude. She apparently got the gig with the band when she answered a scribbled note posted by guitarist PJ Court at the Coventry Library that said, "Male singer wanted." With a song that should have at least made it up to number 20, those were The Primitives with Sick of It.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. Now we are up to a song that really did reach number 11 on Billboard's Rock Radio Airplay chart. The song is called Lunatic Fringe, and it's by Canadian rock act Red Rider. Guitarist Tom Cochran recorded the demo of this song on the same evening that John Lennon was murdered. While the lyrics were already written prior to that event and were basically about some political concerns of his, Cochran later indicated that his feelings about John Lennon's senseless death matched the theme of this song and made him seek its release as a single, even though his record label believed that it was not commercial enough. Here are Tom Cochran, Peter Boynton, Ken Greer, Rob Baker, and the bassist formerly with Ocean and Rush, Jeff Jones. They were collectively known as Red Rider, and their song at number 11 on Alt Universe Top 40 is Lunatic Fringe.
Why do you
the song that really did reach number 11 on Billboard's rock radio airplay chart. That was Red Rider with Lunatic Fringe.
Number 10.
When Billy Joel released the album Glass Houses on March 12, 1980, Record World magazine's review was short and sweet. Quote, "He's already one of music's most successful performer writers, but Joel shows he's still growing and perfecting his craft. A blockbuster for sure." Close quote. Should have reached number 10. That was Billy Joel with Sometimes a Fantasy, and that had the best guitar sound of any Billy Joel record we ever heard.
Number nine.
At number nine, we have the song Love My Way by the British rock band, which was formed in London in 1977, the Psychedelic Furs. This single was released 5 years later, in 1982, and featured the producer of the record, Todd Rundgren, playing marimba along with the band. The song reached number 9 in New Zealand, but stalled at number 42 on the British singles chart. In the United States, it reached number 44 on the Hot 100, but was capable of making the top 40 on both the dance chart and the rock tracks chart, peaking at numbers 40 and 30, respectively. By 1984, it was an absolute rarity for a song to make the top 40 on those two surveys simultaneously.
I follow where my mind goes.
single that should have been a worldwide top 10, those were the Psychedelic Furs with Love My Way.
Alt-Universe Top 40!
Auden and Grace should have reached number 8.
Now we are up to a song that is both modern and great, and it truly should have reached number 8. It is a song by the Swedish band on Network Records, The Perishers. This four-man rock act never reached the top 40 on the Billboard chart, but they amazingly placed songs in a number of American television shows. TV shows such as The O.C., One Tree Hill, Veronica Mars, Grey's Anatomy, 90210, Kyle XY, 16 and Pregnant, and Maui Fever. The song that we are going to play today also appeared in an American television show. It is titled Nothing Like You and I, and it was featured in the episode Freshman Days in the ABC family hit TV show Greek. When I first heard this song, I bought it within minutes.
We spent some time together walking, spent some time just talking about who we were. You held my hand so very tightly and told me what we could be dreaming of. There's nothing like you and I, nothing like you and I. There's nothing like you and I. We spent some time together crying, spent some time just trying to let each other go. I held your hand so very tightly and told you what I would.
Song that is both modern and great and should have reached number 8. Those were the Perishers with Nothing Like You and
All
I.
Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7, and it is a record that went to number 1 on the R&B charts in the United States. As a matter of fact, the vocalist who recorded this number 1 R&B song had 21 singles that reached the top 40 of the R&B charts during her amazing career. And as we mentioned a few songs ago, Elvis Presley certainly knew all about this gifted vocalist. Rhythm and blues singer Laverne Baker was born Dolores Laverne Evans in Chicago, Illinois on November 11, 1929. By the age of 17, she began singing in clubs in the Chicago area, billed as Little Miss Sharecropper. She made her first recording under the name Little Miss Sharecropper at the age of 20. 2 years later, in 1952, she recorded under the name B. Baker.
By the following year, she was billed as Laverne Baker for her recordings with the label that signed her, Atlantic Records. By 1955, Laverne hit number 4 on the R&B chart and number 14 on the Billboard pop chart with the song Tweedly Dee. Shortly thereafter, vocalist Georgia Gibbs recorded the song using the exact same arrangement and hit number 1 on the pop charts with it. Laverne filed a lawsuit and even petitioned Congress in an effort to gain copyright protection from note-for-note copycat recordings, but she was unsuccessful. Over the next couple of years, Laverne hit the top 5 on the R&B chart several times, with songs written by Neil Sedaka, Lieber and Stoller, and even with a recording that featured sax legend King Curtis on the solo. Her most successful single was Jim Dandy, which hit number 1 on the R&B chart and number 17 on the pop charts. Long after her chart success had slowed down, Laverne did a USO tour in 1969. After she became ill in Vietnam, she recovered at a U.S. naval base in the Philippines. She ended up staying at that base as their entertainment director for 22 years. After she returned to the United States, she contributed songs to the soundtracks of Dick Tracy and several other films. She even appeared on Broadway in the hit musical Black and Blue. She was the second female solo artist inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, following only Aretha Franklin. With our little slice of heaven at number 7, here is Laverne Baker with the song from the 50s that Elvis Presley remembered in the 70s, Jim Dandy.
Jim Dandy to the rescue. Jim Dandy to the rescue. Jim Dandy to the rescue. Go Jim Dandy. Go Jim Dandy. Jim Dandy on a mountain top. 30,000 feet to drop. Spider lady on a runaway horse. Aha, that's right, of course. Jim Dandy to the rescue. Go Jim Dandy. Go Jim Dandy. Jim Dandy is the kind of guy never liked to see a little girl cry. Jim Dandy to the rescue. Go Jim Dandy. Go Jim Dandy. Jim Dandy to the rescue. Jim Dandy to the rescue. Jim Dandy to the rescue. Go Jim Dandy. Go! Jim Dandy in a submarine got a message from a mermaid queen. She was hanging from a fishing line. Jim Dandy didn't waste no time. Jim Dandy to the rescue. Go Jim Dandy. Go Jim Dandy. Jim Dandy wanted to go to Maine. Got a ticket on a DC.
With our little slice of heaven at number 7, that was Laverne Baker with the first hit version of Jim Dandy. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Gianni from Naples left us a message on Mixcloud. She says hello and best wishes from Italy. Thank you, Gianni. We are saying hello to you and sending our best wishes back your way. Andreas from Berlin says that he heard us using his Texon PL880 with a telescopic antenna on 7440 kHz. He reports 35422 and says that overall the signal was good. He sends his best regards. Thank you for your reception report, Andreas, and we send our best regards to you as well. Dawn from the UK says hello on Mixcloud. She hopes all is well with us. Well, we are doing fine, Dawn, and please accept our greetings in return. Can you hear us? If you can, please send us your questions, comments, and reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album chart. Today's legendary progressive rock band certainly qualifies. When Greg Lake was 12 years old, his mother bought him a guitar. With the first 4 chords he ever learned, he wrote the initial version of the song, Lucky Man.
He had white horses and ladies by the score, all dressed in satin and waiting by the door. Ooh, what a lucky man he was. Ooh, what a lucky man he was. He went to fight wars for his country and his king, of his honor and his glory, the people would sing.
Ooh, what a lucky man he was. Ooh, what a lucky man he was.
His blood ran as he cried. No money could save him, so he lay down and he died.
Ooh, what a lucky man he was. Ooh, what a lucky man he was.
Bonus hit at number 6. That was Lucky Man by Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Number 5.
My name is John McMullen, and this is Alt Universe Top 40. At number 5, we have a song that was not technically released as a single, but received a large amount of airplay in and around the Memphis area as an album track. The song is called Girls in Uniform, and it was included on the album Thin Disguise, which was released by the band Good Question in 1986. You may recall that we discussed Good Question's leader, Van Duren, in a previous episode, mentioning that he was, early on, managed by former Rolling Stones manager Andrew Luge Oldham. Here is a song Van co-wrote with his old bandmate, former Malarkey member John Hampton, and then recorded with his new band, Good Question. Produced by Don Smith and the ever-present Jack Holder, here is Good Question with a song that should have hit number 5, Girls in Uniform.
She was a cop. She was a lot handled. Basic black and by the chain. I asked her how long she'd been in uniform. She licked her lips and said, long enough.
The song that at the very least should have hit number 5. That was Good Question with Girls in Uniform.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 4.
At number 4, we have yet another record that did considerably better in England than it did in the U.S. The song is Wouldn't It Be Good. I previously played a cover version of this song by the Danny Hutton Hitters that was included on the million-selling soundtrack to the movie Pretty in Pink from 1986. Well, the original version of the song was released by its writer in 1984. In England, the song was a hit, spending 3 weeks at number 4 and spreading throughout Europe. It hit number 1 in Poland, number 2 in Germany, number 3 in Switzerland, and number 5 in Australia and Canada. It was also released as a single in the United States, but it surprisingly stalled at number 46 on the Billboard charts and number 47 in Cashbox. Here is Nick Kershaw's original that should have made it to the top 4 in the United States, Wouldn't It Be Good.
I got it bad. You don't know how bad you got it. You got it easy. You don't know when you've got it good. It's getting harder. Just keeping life and soul together. I'm sick of fighting. Frozen to the core. I don't wanna be
was Nick Kershaw with a song that should have reached number 4 in the United States, Wouldn't It Be Good?
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 3.
Now we are up to our 3 from way downtown, and today we are talking about downtown Detroit. On Valentine's Day 1977, a 4-man rock band played its very first show at the My Fair Lady Club in Detroit, opening for the new MC5. This energetic group drew influences from a wide variety of sources, including the original MC5, mid-60s garage rock, the British Invasion bands, and even 50s rock and roll. With our 3 from way downtown, those were the Romantics with What I Like About You.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 2.
Over the years, there have been literally hundreds of thousands of stories told and retold by rock fans who have been fortunate enough to meet their favorite bands and singers. As we prepare to play our song at number 2, we take a look at such a moment through the eyes of 2 young female fans from the Memphis area that were fortunate enough to chat with and even get a photograph with a band they each liked very much. In a story on the WKNO-FM website, Memphis radio personality Rob Grayson recalled that for the Rolling Stones concert on November 17, 1965, that was to take place in Memphis, the WMPS Good Guys, as their jocks were called at the time, held a contest for a chance to meet the Rolling Stones. WMPS was the radio station affiliated with the event, and their DJs judged the various entries that came streaming in. Ultimately, 2 winners were announced. One winner was the individual who submitted a sketch of the group Sally Ware from Malden, Missouri, a town within range of powerful WMPS, approximately 120 miles from Memphis. In an article in 16 magazine, Sally described her meeting with the Rolling Stones this way. Quote, they acted like real people, and this was kind of amazing to me. I don't usually go wild over these singing groups, and it was a thrill to meet Mick Jagger because he's the only famous person I've ever wanted to meet. He seemed like I thought he would, sophisticated and rather intelligent. Close quote. The other winner, Mary Ann Scruggs, then a senior at Immaculate Conception High School in Memphis, had been determined to win ever since WMPS announced the contest. According to writer Leanne Kleinman, Mary Ann had noticed that Mick Jagger was wearing a lot of striped shirts on stage during that period. So she bought a striped shirt at a local dollar store and stitched onto it a custom message that very smartly mentioned both WMPS and the Rolling Stones. When Mary Ann was interviewed by 16 Magazine about the meeting, she stated, quote, I thought Brian Jones was the friendliest, really, because when I got backstage, I was very nervous and he started talking to me to put me at ease. First, he asked me about the contest. Then I tripped over an amplifier and he helped me up. I had a tape recorder with me which wouldn't work, so he bound it with his fists and started talking into the microphone. Close quote. After each girl spoke briefly with everyone in the band except Keith Richards, a photographer announced that it was time for a picture. Keith looked up from his guitar and said, "What do you mean, man? Can't you see I'm tuning my guitar?" He must have been kidding, though, because he ended up in the photo. But somehow, drummer Charlie Watts did not. When Mary Ann showed Mick Jagger the customized shirt that had allowed her to meet the group, he said to her, "Well, it's going to be a little small. Do you want me to keep it?" Mary Ann told him that if he wanted the shirt, he could have it. Mick gave her a wink and said, "Okay, I'll keep it." Soon, the concert was over, and after several more shows, the Stones found themselves in the RCA Studios in Hollywood. Just 16 days after meeting Sally and Mary Ann through the WMPS contest, they recorded this smash, which hit number one on Cashbox, but stalled at number two on the Billboard Hot 100. Just as they were presented by the WMPS good guys, here are the Rolling Stones with 19th Nervous Breakdown.
Here he comes,
with our song at number two that should have hit number one on Billboard. Those were the Rolling Stones with 19th Nervous Breakdown.
Number one.
Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track at number one. Actually, I should say tracks, as these are two separate songs that are always played together. They come from an album that was a masterpiece from the moment of its release. Intended to be heard from beginning to end in one sitting by its creators and producer, it has, nevertheless, spawned no fewer than four selections that were given airtime as if each were a number one single. But before we get to the record, we need to finish up the story of the young fans that won the WMPS contest and, as a result, were able to meet the Rolling Stones. Since practically everything these days exists online, a diligent search on the computer will result in a few additional quotes from both Sally and Marianne. You can also see the photograph that caused Keith Richards to grumble. One can even view a photo of Sally Ware's very accurate charcoal drawing. So whatever happened to the shirt that Marianne gave Mick Jagger? Well, even if you have never searched online for the details of this story, or any story for that matter, chances are you have seen that shirt. In the summer of 1967, while Marianne was again listening to WMPS, she heard one of the DJs mention that her custom-stitched shirt had turned up in a very public place. Why on earth would a WMPS DJ even be concerned at all about that shirt? Well, apparently, Mick Jagger gave the shirt to artist Peter Blake, who put the shirt onto a Shirley Temple doll for a photo project. That photo project just happened to be the cover of the album Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. While it is difficult to see everything that Marianne stitched onto that shirt, almost anyone who has ever viewed the iconic cover of the Sgt. Pepper album has noticed the Shirley Temple doll with the words, "Welcome the Rolling Stones," on the front. But a closer look up the sleeves, and it is obvious where Marianne stitched in the words, "WMPS Good Guys." The whole message was, WMPS Good Guys welcomed the Rolling Stones. Marianne, of course, went to Pop Tunes immediately to check out the album cover, but she had to save up some money before she could afford to buy it. From the album with the most famous cover in the history of album covers, here are the Beatles, who, for their iconic photograph, got a little help from their friends, Mick Jagger, Peter Blake, the WMPS Good Guys, and especially Marianne Scruggs.
Thank you. sang out a tune, would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friend. I get high with a little help from my friend. Gonna try with a little help from my friend. What do I do when my love is away? Does it worry you to be alone? How do I feel by the end of the day?
Are you sad because you're on your own?
No, I get by with a little help from my friends. Get high with a little help from my friends. Gonna try with a little help from my friends.
Our Hall of Perfection tracks, those were the Beatles with the opening two selections from their masterpiece, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Well, that's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check out our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can visit our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send us your questions, comments, or reception reports in an email address to john@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase letters, and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.